Welcome to an enlightening podcast from IslamPodcasts.com. We encourage our listeners to please comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please remind your family and friends to also visit IslamPodcasts.com for engaging discussions on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran, tafsir, seerah, and much more. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com as well as rate, review of iTunes.
لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله وتلك الأمثال نضربها للناس لعلهم يتفكرون
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن ولا السلام عليكم. My name is Abdul Wahid and I'm 46 years old. First of all, I would just like to say may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and bless and elevate and escalate these young reciters who recited for us, every one of them, and make them the best and foremost in this deen, and make them a means of Jannah for their parents. Subhanallah, we are in the middle of this month of Ramadan, the month where the Quran is revealed, the month where we, night after night, hear these recitation of this Quran in masajids across the world. And on the television we hear the recitations from Mecca. And it moves us. And it reminds us. And it builds that link with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it helps along with our fasting and our sadaqah and the i'tikaf the brothers will do and the other good deeds in this month. It helps to build that bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is more necessary for us brothers and sisters here in the middle of a jahil society than it can be anywhere else. But as necessary as it is, as we've already heard this evening, this was not the purpose of Quran al-Kareem. The purpose of this evening was to remind us that although there is reward in reciting this Quran and to recite it beautifully as well, that was not the purpose Allah revealed the Quran. He subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in his book, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات, that we sent our messengers with clear signs. وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان, and we sent with them books and the balance, the mizan, the scales. ليقوم الناس بالقسط, so that mankind could establish justice. Not that Abdul Wahid established justice. Not that all of you sitting here established justice. Not that the Muslim Ummah established justice. Allah sent this book with His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, revealed in this month, so that all of humanity could live by justice. The creator of man knew better than us how human beings can live on this planet together. And that's why he revealed this book. And we can't remind ourselves of that enough times. Because otherwise every year goes by and we hear these beautiful recitations and we learn more Quran and we read more Quran ourselves and we still don't see it established on this earth to bring the justice of Allah that he revealed in his Sharia through his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Over and over again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this Quran to establish justice on this earth. إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُ بِالْعَدْلِ وَالْإِحْسَانِ. Indeed, Allah exhorts you, commands you to justice and goodness. Over and over again. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا كُونُوا قَوَّمِينَ بِالْقِسْطِ. Stand, believers, stand for justice. And as my brother Kamal said, it isn't just these general principles of justice. The Sharia as a whole, with its details, is the means by which justice would be established on this earth. But we don't see justice today. We see what's happening in Burma. The latest tragedy before our eyes, though a tragedy that's been going for decades and decades, but just revealed in front of our eyes this year. We see what's happening in Syria, where day after day, men, women and children would rather give their blood to see the removal of this shaitan and the regime of shaitan and the establishment of Allah's deen on this earth, rather than put up with more dhulum that they have faced for decades and decades. We see month after month more and more people killed in the drone attacks in Pakistan, where there's no justice, where these nations of the West that talk about human rights and peace and freedom will take the law into their own hand and decide who's a criminal and not put them before a court, not put a piece of evidence in front of anyone, not allow a man, a woman or a child to defend themselves, but rather send an unmanned aircraft to bomb them. We don't see any justice when we see the rulers in the Muslim world living in the lap of luxury, visiting the UK for Jubilee celebrations or for Olympic Games. And yet their people sit at home facing power cuts, facing poverty, facing rising food prices. Year after year in Ramadan, the food for iftar for these people, just simple bread and tea and dal, is becoming more expensive. And it shouldn't surprise us. Because in this Quran, revealed in this month to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for the whole of mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكًا. That whoever turns away from my dhikr, from this dhikr, this Qur'an, for him there is a life of misery. And he'll be raised on the day of judgment blind. And will ask Allah, oh my Lord, why? Why did you raise me blind when in the world I could see? And Allah says, because you were heedless of my word in this dunya, so I won't heed your plea to me to give you sight. The neglect of Quran to be established in this world is something that has consequences for you and I in the Akhirah as well as the dunya. All the injustices we see in the world and what faces us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And you know what's even more frightening, brothers and sisters? What's even more frightening is that the more we hear these beautiful recitations, the more Quran I memorize, the more I watch the Taraweeh on the TV, the more heedless I'm becoming that every day goes by that this deen of Allah is not established on this earth. And that's frightening, because then the goodness counts against us on Yawm al-Qiyamah and not for us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives the details to how this deen, this Quran, will bring goodness in this world and justice. We mentioned all these people suffering: Syria, Palestine, Burma, Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iraq, still, after 10 years, still suffering. And then we read this ayah of Quran, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوا تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. The disbelievers, the kuffar, they are allies and protectors of one another. And this is the truth, we saw this. We saw this when they came together in every invasion. They managed to disagree on everything. They disagree on how they should solve the economic crisis. They disagree on how to deal with global climate change. They disagree on world trade every time they get together. But somehow, when it comes to dealing with Iraq, when it comes to dealing with Palestine, when it comes to inaction and allowing the Muslims in Burma to be slaughtered, when it comes to collectively giving the Assad regime more time to kill and oppress its people, we find them united. The nations of this world, the states, the regimes, the governments that have made enmity to Allah and His Messenger, we find them united. And Allah tells us this in Surah Anfal. And then He says, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ. Unless you, Muslims, you do the same. Unless you Muslims do the same, unite, become protectors and allies of each other, there will be tumult and oppression and fitna on this earth. And there is. And there is. And not just for us in the Muslim world. You look at these so-called developed civilized countries. You go out into Birmingham or in London, and you tell me that people don't feel the hardship of life. How can people say they're secure in a society where they can spend 9 billion, 10 billion pounds on some circus, and yet people are literally one paycheck away from the street if they can't pay their rent or, na'udhu billah, their mortgage, if they lose their jobs? That's if they have jobs. There will be fitna, oppression, tumult on this earth unless you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered in this Quran, which is to unite. And Ibn Jarir al-Tabari, one of the great mufassireen, explained this ayah. He didn't leave it general. He didn't just say, you know, you should unite, you should just be good to each other, you should unite behind a khalifa. And it is fitna to have more than one Amir of the Muslims. It is fitna. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you're united behind one man and another comes to claim leadership, kill him no matter who he is. And to the Sahaba, the noble Sahaba, this even meant if one amongst them, may Allah forbid, had stood in the way of uniting, it would have been applicable to them. This Quran did not leave in generalities. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed through this Quran and through the example of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which He tells us in this Quran to follow, details of how to live our lives. And some of these details we can implement now. We can implement the ahkam of tajweed now. We can implement our asr salah now and our maghrib salah now. We can implement our fast now. We can implement our siyam now. We can give zakat and sadaqah now. But some of the ahkam sharia in this Quran, we can't implement today. You and I could implement and oblige every individual rule on ourselves, and still, part of this book would become unimplemented. Why? Because the sunnah of his messenger tells you and me that it is obligation to live under one Amir, one Khalifa, whose job it is on our behalf is to implement those other rules of the Sharia. So we can read the prayer, but we can't establish the prayer. We can't establish the prayer in a society where Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu an, he said that the organization of the Jummah prayer, the implementation of the hudud, and the collection of the zakat ila sultan, is for the khalif, is for the sultan, is for the authority. Actually, the role to organize the Jummah prayer in an Islamic society is for the state. The duty to collect zakat and distribute it to the categories mentioned in the Quran is for the Khalifa. The declaration of the sighting of the month of Ramadan moon is for the Khalifa, to unify the Muslims. We can't be unified without a Khalifa. Some of the rules of Islam we can implement ourselves. Others came to be established by an Islamic authority. Justice. I can do as much justice as I like, and you can too, and you should, brothers and sisters. But justice can only be implemented by a court, and a court only has a force of law by a state, and no kufr, secular state, is going to give you justice according to Islam. Otherwise, you'd see it on the face of this earth, and we don't. Justice comes in many forms. When the Muslims used to receive revenues in the time of the Khilafah Rashida, the time of the Khilafah that followed the example of the Prophet ﷺ, they used to collect the revenues from the zakat, from the usher, from the kharaj, from the jizya, from the spoils of war, the ghanima. And when it used to come, the Khalifa at the time, Umar ibn al-Khattab, he knew this ayah from Surah Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this wealth is for Allah and His Messenger, and the masakeen, and the yateem, and the wayfarer. Why? Why? Because Allah tells us, كَيْلَ يَكُونَ دُولَةً بَيْنَ الْأَغْنِيَاءَ مِنْكُمْ. So that what? So that the wealth does not just become passing between the hands, going round and round between those of you who are already wealthy. And the khulafa of the past, they knew this ayah meant that they had a duty, that whatever revenue comes in, they have to spend this more on the people that need it more. Not just to give it so that the rich remain rich and the poor remain poor. Like my brother Reza said, you can give as much sadaqah as you like, and you should in this month, watching these appeals on TV. But frankly speaking, until you have somebody that rules by kitab and sunnah, who takes the duty to collect zakat and whatever other revenues come in, and then circulate them to the people that need it most, we'll be seeing countless appeals on the television. And even then, there will be people who go to bed hungry at night, and people who go without electricity, and people who go without medication, and people go without roofs on their heads. Because this way that these good brothers and sisters do with their buckets and their TV appeals, this was never meant to be the way to organize our affairs. May Allah reward them for what they do. But this was never meant to be the way to collect the zakat and the revenues and to help the people. And it's no wonder that in this world today where we have so much wealth, people still go hungry. And yet in a time gone by, at the time of Umar bin Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah, that when there's less wealth in the world, less material things to share around, and yet they managed to share it with people so that there was nobody hungry enough to receive the zakat. This is the justice meant by Islam. In the group that I am part of, Hizb al-Tahrir, we pledged ourselves 60 years ago to work to see the establishment of Islam on this earth, so that this Quran could be the book, along with the Sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, which would be ruled according to Islam by a Khalifa. And to some people, this seems like far away, because they look at all the false obstacles in this world to the revival of Islam. False, all false, every one of them. The fear that you'll be attacked by the West, false, false. They've taken a hit in Iraq and Afghanistan. They aren't going to go anywhere shortly. They can't afford to pay the bills in their own country. They aren't going to pay for another war. That you can't do it anymore. You can't unite people. False. How could there be a khilafah that extends from Morocco in one side to the Indian subcontinent on the other in the days without electricity, without cars, without planes, without internet, without computers, without television, without satellite, and it managed to stay together? And today we can't do it. False obstacle. All false obstacles. But in the end, the real false obstacle is in us. Isn't it? It's our trust in Allah. Because if you and I believe in Allah, and you and I believe in the promise of Allah and His Messenger, you and I know victory is close. And if there's just even one of us, or five of us, or 500 of us, Allah will bring that victory. And if we trust there is every solution in this kitab, we'll look for it and find it and implement it. So I ask you, I urge you, every one of you, join us in this work. Don't let these false obstacles be an obstacle for you. And most of all, don't let the obstacle in your heart, your lack of trust in Allah, His victory, His solutions for humanity, be the obstacle. If you don't know how Allah brings a solution for a problem, come, find out, learn. Once upon a time, I didn't know anything. Now I know a little. There are others who know much more. If you don't know how a group should proceed according to the method of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, come and find out, ask us. Find out how we work. But what I'd say is, don't let another Ramadan come by without you being of the people that wants to see this deen implemented and tries to make an effort to have some contribution to it. Ibn Abbas, radiallahu an, a great Sahabi, a great scholar of this Ummah, the cousin of the Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, we used to learn 10 ayat of Quran, implement them in our lives, and then teach them and carry them to others. Are you satisfied with learning 10 ayat of Quran, teaching somebody else, and just forgetting about the implementation? If you're not, then see the brothers at the stall, see the brothers at the front, see how much you can do, however little or however much. Everyone's circumstance is different. Everyone can do something small or something big. And I urge you in this most blessed of months to really just make some contribution to seeing this Quran this deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala established on this earth. And I think we have about 15 minutes before the time for iftar. The best time for you and I to make dua, and we will be left alone in our own thoughts inshallah to make dua, and make dua for this ummah, and make dua for this implementation of this deen, and make dua for me, and make dua for this party that works for this, make dua for all the Muslims and the dawah carriers that are suffering around the world, make dua for their families that are patient. And remember all these people in your du'as, and most of all, make du'a that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings His victory on soon, so that truly mankind can live in justice on this earth. Allahumma ihdina fi man hadayt, wa afina fi man afayt, wa tawallana fi man tawallayt, wa barik lana fi ma atayt, wa qina sharra ma qadayt, fa innaka taqdi wa la yuqda alayk, innahu la yadhillu man walayt, ولا يعز من عاديت تباركت ربنا وتعاليك نستغفرك ونتوب إليك اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم عز الإسلام والمسلمين بدولة الخلافة على منهاج النبوة وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. Podcasts on current events, Islamic guidance, Quran tafsir, and seerah are available at islampodcasts.com, as well as on iTunes. Rate, review, and comment, and let us know how we can grow in our knowledge to better serve our community. Please subscribe, share, and tell a friend about islampodcasts.com.